sure how much more time he had left before Nfota broke free of charm, but it couldn't be long. Richter cast weak haste and took off running. Richter sprinted as fast as he could, following his map to the exit. The winding tunnels were confusing, and there was no way he could have found his way out unaided. Thankfully, though, the kobold's racial ability of pathfinding underground had translated to the quality of the maps they provided. The tunnels appeared before him exactly as they had been depicted. Once again, he ran until his stamina started to run out. Then he would jog lightly until it refilled halfway. Traps appeared regularly, but he didn't dare take the time to disarm them all. He simply skirted them and sped on. When his dark vision potion ran out, he had Futin light the tunnel up. The time for stealth was over. Now it was about speed and stamina. He moved his legs as quickly as he could, but then he heard the horns. Richter would never know if the alarm was sounded because Nfota's enchantment wore off, or he had just passed an unseen sentry, but the baleful sound of horns started coming faster and faster. Initially, they were just behind him, but then Richter was sure he started hearing them to either side. He kept running. It was unclear who was more surprised, him or the kobold patrol that he ran across. Futin led the way slightly and went around one of the endless twists in the tunnels. As soon as the orb disappeared from sight, Richter heard cries of pain and anger. He rounded the bend a second later and saw seven kobolds reeling from the sudden bright light. They had come from another small tunnel that was a dogleg to the right and had been taken by surprise. Richter didn't pause. Instead, he just threw both hands forward and contorted his fingers in a specific configuration, each a mirror image of the other. He shouted the word of power. For the first time, the magic seemed to resist his will, but after a moment of intense focus, he spat it out. Warmth flooded both of his arms just prior to twin gouts of flame exploding from both hands. They interwove with each other, like he was a ghostbuster crossing the streams, and the combined forces created a large jet of flame. The color of the fire, which was normally yellow-orange, became a solid orange, and the flame shot out much further than before. His arms were locked together by the force of the spell, and he felt his mana pour out of him. With a cry of rage and power, he aimed the flaming lance at their faces as he ran by. They all fell to the ground with even louder cries of pain. The scent of cooked meat filled the air. He didn't stop running the whole time. Once he was past them, he canceled the spell. He heard a few crossbows discharging, but the kobolds were firing blind, and none of the shots came near him. As he sped up the tunnel, he noticed that his mana bar had fallen a good deal faster than he would have expected. Richter was mentally patting himself on the back when he heard another horn right behind him. One of the kobolds in the patrol must have had one. Sons of bitches, he thought. Richter pushed his legs to pump faster. Richter glanced at his map and saw that he only had a few miles left to go. He kept running, the kobold patrol's screams of agony fading behind him. He started hearing more horns to either side of him. Before, the loud blasts had been one long, mournful note. Now, however, it was three short blasts. Richter could only assume that the change communicated that the hunting parties had found their quarry and were closing in on him. 10 steps, 30, 100, then 500. Richter's stamina bar was nearing empty, but he couldn't stop when he was so close. He kept pushing.
Futin, what time of day is it?
He wheezed.
It's mid-afternoon, my lord.
Richter used that information as a personal rallying cry. He just had to make it outside and he'd be safe. The sunlight would keep them from following. He turned another corner and entered a last straight stretch. The tunnel rose at more than a 30-degree incline and was covered with gravel. Richter kept running, having to focus to keep his balance. He cast grease behind him near the bottom of the hill, hoping to slow any pursuit. He slipped and scrabbled in the loose scree, occasionally falling to all fours, but never stopping his upward progress. A horn blew. Two long, loud blasts. Richter hadn't heard that particular horn pattern before. He looked behind him, and what he saw at the bottom of the slope made his heart drop. 10 kobolds were at the bottom of the slope, and they were mounted. Their steeds looked like centipedes, only thousands of times larger than the small insects he had seen on Earth. As he watched, one of the mounts opened its maw and Richter saw a row of needle-sharp teeth. A kobold pointed its spear at him and roared, Richter's form easily seen in Futin's light. They all took off towards him. Shit! Richter turned back towards the top of the slope and willed his legs to move faster. Despite his stamina being near empty, his fear gave him extra strength. He only had a quarter mile left up the slope. He had to make it. He risked another look behind him and saw that they were coming up fast. Too fast. One broke ahead of the pack and raced up the tunnel. It hit the greasy spot well ahead of the rest, and the mount's thousands of tiny legs scrabbled for purchase, but it tipped forward. The centipede was going so fast, it flipped end over end, and the kobold rider flew forward and landed with a thud. Richter started to cheer internally, but then saw the other centipedes veer to either side of the grease patch. The tunnel was narrow enough that the 10-foot radius of the grease spell covered the entire floor, but it didn't stop them. The remaining 9 kobolds built speed and then kept running on the walls. Their sharp, strong legs found purchase in the stone walls, just enough to keep them horizontal until they passed the obstacle. Once they were past the spell's AOE, they came back to the tunnel floor without pause and kept running. Shit! 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 Richter stared at them and then looked up the slope. There was no way that he could cross the remaining distance before they caught him. He wasn't going to make it. Praying that this worked, he quickly reached into his bag and took out the spring wall he had found on Sonore's body. You better fucking work! He shouted at the bar of compressed steel. He angled the item so that the ends pointed at the tunnel walls, made sure Alma and Futin were further up the hill than he was, and then removed the latch. A split second later, the spring wall deployed. Richter fell onto his butt with a startled yell. The wall shot out along the plane he had angled it in its compressed form. It made a loud ting as it released, and then the sharp points along the edges of the device sank into the stone of the tunnel walls with dozens of small thunks. It looked like a chain-link fence, but with much smaller holes and much thicker metal. The kobolds roared as they closed on his position. Richter scrabbled backwards, slipping in the gravel as he tried to get to his feet. The first of the centipedes reached the spring wall and tried to barrel through it. The wall buckled under its weight, and the high steel mesh bowed towards him. The mount's teeth gnashed as it tried to close the remaining feet between them. Richter looked into the eyes of the kobold rider, whose reptilian mouth was pulled back in a rictus of battle lust. It clearly tasted victory, and its spear was pulled back to stab him as soon as the centipede broke through the steel barrier. But the wall held. The wall held! The spring wall had flexed like a net under the kobold's charge, but then snapped back into shape. The kobold and its mount were pushed back and the others quickly reined in to avoid a pileup. Richter shouted, "Yes!" and then regained his feet. He smiled cockily at the kobolds, but then one brought out an axe and chopped at the wall, leaving a small tear in one of the links. "Fair enough," he said quietly with a small nod of his head. The cockiness faded, and he turned to start running up the hill. Then he had one of the most wonderful thoughts he had ever had since he started thinking. He smiled at the kobolds again. "Oh, yes, boys," he thought. "The cockiness is back, and it's bigger and vainier than ever." Richter surreptitiously aimed his ring of spell storage at one of the kobolds, barely raising his arm. He released his stored charm spell. With his other arm, he enchanted a second rider. A gold glow surrounded his hand as he cast the spell, catching the kobold's attention. The enchantments were only phase one. Phase two of his plan was where the sneakiness came in. Richter very blatantly pointed at a kobold next to the first one he had charmed and said in the barking language of the kobolds, "My charmed creature! I, your master, command you to kill all of the other kobolds!" The male that had been pointed at stared across the wall with surprised and widened eyes. Before the rider could refute Richter's claim, however, the charmed kobold obeyed his master's spoken command. A studded mace swung down with crushing force, and the kobold Richter had singled out slid bonelessly off of his centipede. At the same time, Richter's other charmed reptilian stabbed a fourth kobold with a spear. After that, the entire mounted force began clubbing, stabbing, and slashing each other in a wonderful bloody mess. The kobold's natural combativeness and divisiveness made them turn upon each other in a desperate bid to preserve their own individual lives. Only a few feet of space and a high steel mesh wall separated Richter from the slaughter, and as the Chaos Seed looked upon his handiwork, he inhaled a deep, satisfied breath. In the months afterward, Richter could admit to himself that he may have watched the brutal tableau a bit longer than he should have, listening happily as screams and grunts filled the air. He would be able to concede that he enjoyed witnessing the gore and the death and black misted blood more than any sane person should have. At the time of the massacre, however, with his nerves stretched to the breaking point, no deep thoughts were crossing his mind. Richter just stood with a smile and enjoyed the show. When only three of the mounted force were left alive, Richter looked past them and down the slope. He saw a second mass of kobolds, both mounted and otherwise, gathering at the bottom of the hill. As this army surged up towards him, he gave one last fond look at the kobolds killing themselves in front of him before turning and running the rest of the way up the hill. Richter made it to the top of the incline and turned right. Just as the charmed kobolds had described, a narrow cave connected to the tunnel and led outside. A waterfall fell from above the mouth of the cave, leaving the cave shrouded in shadow. That didn't matter to Richter. He was almost outside. He ran towards the falling water, the roar drowning out all sound just as the falling water blocked out most of the light. He stayed to the left of the cave and then entered a final short tunnel that led outside. Richter ran, excitement building in his chest, towards fresh air and, more importantly, the protection of the sun. He would finally be safe from these bastard lizards that had been trying to kill him. He followed the tunnel as it twisted through sheer rock, right, left, and then one last right turn. He stepped out into fresh air and was immediately drenched in a torrential downpour. The water fell in sheets. The storm was so intense that barely any sunlight filtered down from above, despite it only being mid-afternoon. Richter put his head back and screamed into the storm. Are you fucking kidding me? Again? Chapter 19, Day 95, Kuralt 14, 15,368 EBG. Alma wriggled into his hood and under his cloak to protect herself from the rain. Still cursing, Richter started running again. He accessed his map. From what he could guesstimate, he was about 120 miles south and 30 miles west of the village. He hoped that the kobolds wouldn't be able to track him in the rain, but because of his new tracking skill, he could see animal prints even in the deluge he was running through. It was true that because of the rain he could only make out tracks a few feet away, but he couldn't hang his hat on the hope that the kobolds wouldn't track him. Futin! He shouted over the sound of the rain. A flash of lightning followed his call. Yes, my lord, came the monotone reply. A roll of thunder followed the remnant's response. You need to go back to the Great Seal. I need reinforcements. Tell them I am more than 100 miles south and at least 30 miles west of the village. Richter checked his map again. Looking at both the translucent image superimposed on his vision and maintaining his balance as he ran through the forest taxed his ability to multitask, but he did his best. From what he could see on the map, a large cliff was directly in his path, about 5 miles from his location. Several rivers crisscrossed the map as well. Tell them I'm going to be going further south and east until I can circle around a large cliff shaped like a crescent. Hopefully they know where that is. Going south when he crossed the rivers would also increase his chances to lose any potential pursuers. Are you sure that you want me to leave you, my lord? The remnant asked. Go! Richter shouted over the wind. I need more help than you can give. Futin's light began to grow in intensity. It shined brighter than Richter had ever seen it before. Then the glare grew so powerful that he couldn't see anything but white. With a clap of sound louder than the thunder, air rushed into the space that the remnant had been occupying a moment before. Richter stared at the spot Futin had disappeared from, sunspots marring his vision. He really could have warned me that his teleport would basically summon every monster within 20 miles. What a dick! Alma's only response was to shift unhappily under his cloak. Richter cast night vision to make up for the loss of Futin's light, then took off running again. The storm continued unabated. His progress was greatly slowed by having to navigate obstacles like downed trees and mudslides. When he came to the first river 30 minutes later, he was glad he had told Futin that he would be moving further south as he made his way east. The rain had swollen the river dramatically. What had been depicted on the map as a large stream was now a medium-sized rapids. Richter had been planning to walk down the center of the stream for several hundred yards to throw off anyone with the tracking skill, and then exit on the other side. There was absolutely no way he could wade across this, though. As he stood on the bank, he considered just jumping in and swimming, but the turbulent flow and large branches that bobbed around in the water made drowning a very real threat. Richter started running south down the riverbank, looking for a ford. After a bit, he found a tree that must have washed down from upstream and then gotten caught in a crook of the river. It extended 3/4 of the way to the far bank. Richter stepped out onto the tree, testing it with 1 foot. When it held, he pulled back his hood. The water flowed down his face, and Alma yowled in displeasure. "I'm sorry, love, but if I fall and you're still in my cloak, I don't think you'll make it. Fly across and wait for me." She wasn't happy about it, but did as he asked. The wind buffeted her a time or two, but she made it into the limbs of a large tree on the far bank and stared back at him. "Okay, Richter," he said to himself. "Let's do this." He walked out under the tree with his arms held out to his sides. In his earth body, he was sure this wouldn't have been possible, but his increased agility here in the land let him balance on the makeshift bridge. The tree rocked slightly thanks to the fast-moving water. He was almost to the end of the trunk when something hit him like a hammer in the back of his shoulder. He cried out in pain and plunged into the river. Richter flailed to get above the surface, each movement of his left arm shooting pain through him. His head came above the water, and he coughed out some river water that had made its way into his lungs. He sucked in a quick breath before he was pushed under the surface again. Over the next 5 minutes, he was pushed to and fro in the river, but he finally got to the other side. He pulled himself up, hand over hand, until he was firmly on solid ground. Laying on his side, he gasped and sputtered. Richter reached for the source of his pain and felt a metal bolt sticking out of his back. It was high enough in his shoulder that he could wrap his fingers around the portion sticking out of him. Getting a sure grip, he ripped it out. The barb on the head made his health drop fractionally more than the initial attack, and blood flowed freely down his back. He worked his other hand into a spell configuration and cast weak, slow heal. The wound immediately began to close, and the pain abated. His fingers were also outlined in gold light, though, which alerted his pursuers to his position. More crossbow bolts shot across the river towards his general position. Alma swooped in and cast Errant Wind. The spell increased Richter's ability to dodge the projectiles and provided the edge he needed to get to safety. Richter took cover behind a large rock, and Alma settled back under his cloak. Richter bared his teeth and looked back across the river, but even with his night vision, he could barely see across to the other bank. Twisting his hand into a specific shape, he cast Far Light again and again. 10, then 20 balls of light shot across the river and attached to trees, rocks, and bushes. He now had a clear view of the force arrayed against him. Dozens of kobolds stared across the river at him, their eyes pregnant with hatred and promised retribution. All were mounted on what looked like large black pit bulls. More than half had crossbows, and they all fired when they saw him peeking from behind the stone. He ducked his head back down and let all of the missiles either hit the rock or pass him by. Richter flipped them off and took off running. He cast weak haste as he once more sped through a darkened forest in a desperate bid to survive. Richter came to another river, but was able to wade across this one. As soon as he hit the other side, he was off and running again. Less than an hour later, the sun set, making a dim world even darker. Even with night vision, his sight was extremely limited. He ran through the night, barely staying ahead of the mounted kobolds. If the sky had been clear, he most likely would have been caught and killed, but again and again he was able to lose his pursuit in the storm. Unfortunately, again and again they found him. He tried to make his way north more than once, but the kobolds had spread themselves out to the north of this position. It was like they knew he was trying to get back to the Mist Village. Whenever Richter was spotted, the rider would blow his horn and the rest of the kobolds would converge. Richter would dash off and a game of cat and mouse would ensue. He would find a convenient hollowed tree or fold in the land to hide in. Richter's stealth and cloak let him stay concealed until a hole appeared in their formation and he would again streak out into the night. Though Richter hadn't been driven to ground yet, the kobolds continued driving him east and south. He would have been screwed if his only safe haven was his village. When he checked his map, though, he was surprised by the amount of distance he had covered since making it above ground. He smiled a vicious smile when he realized that the village wasn't his only safe haven. The kobolds kept driving him south, but it was Richter that began to lead them east. He kept running when he could, hiding when he had to. More hours passed. Richter's legs were tight, and he was fairly certain one of his boots was filled with blood from a popped blister when he finally arrived at his destination. He climbed a leafy tree and waited. Before long, Richter watched a kobold rider stalk through the rain, not 30 yards away from his position. He had hidden many times through the night, but this time was different. He didn't stay in his perch and just wait for the reptile to pass. He was finally done running. A mental message to Alma sent her winging silently into the higher limbs of the tree. Richter quietly lowered himself down from the branch he had been sitting on, and he dropped noiselessly to the ground. He stood and knocked a sprite arrow to the string and started imbuing. He had been behind the rider, but the glow from the arrow immediately gave him away. The rider saw him after 2 seconds and hurriedly raised a horn to his lips. Richter just smiled. He had no intention of stopping the kobold from giving away their position. In fact, for the first time, he was looking forward to hearing the god-awful racket the kobold horn made. The kobold paused for a moment, confused by Richter's expression, but then placed the horn to his lips and blew a loud note. The call was cut off when Richter's arrow detonated against his chest and knocked him out of the saddle, but the damage was done. As the dog mount ran off in fear, other horns echoed in the night. Richter raised his hands in the air and shot off several far lights, the balls of light rising in the air like fireworks. Then he took off running east again. After just a few minutes, the riders caught up with him. Through the night, his host of pursuers had slowly closed in on his position. The kobolds didn't need to spread out their numbers as sightings of Richter became more common. What they didn't know was that Richter had let himself be seen. The dog mounts outpaced him, the steeds running faster than Richter could, despite his prodigious use of weak haste. Soon, the kobolds came at him from all directions, including dead ahead. Richter found himself surrounded. The reptiles barked angrily to each other, and the mounts growled and snapped at him. He cast simple light. Richter knew it would piss them off more, but though the kobolds were clearly angered, they all maintained a distance of at least 10 feet. Richter looked at the sea of angry kobolds. There had to be at least 200 of them. He kept a smile on his face, but inside, his heart hammered wildly in fear. He could only hope that what Hisako had told him was true, and that his plan would come to fruition before they all, quite literally, tore him apart. After a few minutes, a particularly large kobold pushed out of Richter's circle of enemies, riding a scarred pit bull. The kobold wore robes, rings, and held a wand clutched loosely in his hand. Richter analyzed him. Name, Yia San. Cobalt level 35. Health, 280. Mana, 6,300. Stamina, 190. Disposition, enmity. Profession, mage. Specialization, battle mage. The mage looked down at Richter from atop his mount. The wand in his hand gleamed in Richter's summoned globe of light. Unlike most kobold weapons, this looked well-made and well-maintained. It possessed the milky white color of moonstone and had a large ruby affixed to the end. Yasan saw Richter looking at his weapons, and the kobold seemed to sneer. The mage raised his arm almost lazily, then, with a crook of his finger, dark energy shot up to Richter's ball of light and snuffed it out. The forest dropped into almost complete blackness. Though Richter couldn't see the kobolds anymore, he could hear their excitement. The ambient volume of conversation of the other kobolds rose at their leader's casual display of power. Richter reestablished his night vision with a twist of his hand and a word of power. As the black energy writhed into existence, he looked at the mage and wondered if his spell casting might trigger a violent response, but all he saw on the kobold's face was smug superiority. When Yasan spoke, he pointed the wand at Richter's face.
You have come into our home and taken something. We will take it back, and for our trouble, we will take your heart as well.
All of the kobolds yipped and barked loudly at their leader's words. Richter squinted at the large kobold. What if I just gave you the focus crystal back? Would you be willing to forgive and forget?
I'm not speaking about a mere crystal, and you well know it, the kobold shouted. I do not know how you knew to look beneath the crystals for what had long been lost, but you will tell me before you die.
Richter looked about, honestly confused. If you don't want the focus crystal, then what do you want? His night vision picked up a glimmer of movement.
Enough games, human. If you do not wish to speak the truth now, then we will take you back to the tunnels. We shall see how resistant you are after the burrowing worms begin to nest within you.
Yasan barked an order, and the ring of kobolds began to close in on Richter. Wait! I'll tell you what I know, he said loudly, holding his arms out. Yasan barked another order, and the kobold stopped moving. The rider looked at him pointedly. I know that you feel wronged. I know that I took something from you. I also know something else. Richter let his last word hang in the air for several seconds. The kobolds leaned in slightly, as if afraid to miss his next words. Yasan had opened his mouth to speak when Richter continued, cutting the mage off. He lowered his voice slightly, as if he was sharing a secret. I know that you should be careful how you talk to me. We are not in your dark little hole anymore. And I know that when you step into someone else's house, you should be damn careful how you speak. Richter's voice rose through his speech, and spittle flew from his lips as he shouted the last sentence at Yasan. The kobold bared his teeth.
And this, he said, sweeping his arm around at the trees. Am I to understand that this forest is your home? Is that what you wanted to tell me? Was that the point of your useless speech and false bravado?
Richter glared back, matching his enemy's glare in both will and animosity. Then he broke the gaze and smiled sheepishly. No, this isn't my house. It's theirs, he said, gesturing behind the kobold. Then, because he couldn't help himself, he said in his best Pacino,
Say hello to my little friends!
Yasan's head whipped back and he saw that hundreds of blue glowing dots had lit up the darkness. Then the sprites released their imbued arrows, and the kobolds found another reason to fear the light. Chapter 20, Day 97, Kuralt 16, 15,368 EBG. When Richter came to, his head was cushioned atop something soft, and a sweet scent filled the air. He picked his head up and saw that he was inside of a small room. A round yellow globe glowed softly in the corner. When he looked around, he saw that he wasn't alone. A white-haired sprite woman sat calmly in a chair at the foot of the bed. She looked familiar, but he couldn't quite place her.
Ah, he awakes.
Her voice had a youthful tone that belied her apparent age. He shook his head to clear the cobwebs.
Thank you for your help. I'm forever in your debt.
I should say so, she replied. The magic to bring someone back from the dead is no easy thing.
Richter's eyes widened in alarm. The last thing he remembered was imbued shots exploding all around him. A few had struck the ground in front of him and thrown him through the air. After that, his head had struck something hard and everything went black. He quickly accessed his status page, concerned that he had lost levels again. A girlish laugh made him look back at the sprite. She had her hand over her mouth in a poor attempt to stop the laughter that was spilling out into the room.
Oh, your face! Just a joke, Lord Richter. I had to pay you back for stealing my sister away.
She stood and gave a small curtsy.
I am Fumiko.
Hearing the name, it suddenly clicked. The sprite looked familiar because he had spent so much time with her family member. This must be Sumiko's sister. So I didn't die. She laughed again.
No, though when we saw the state of your face, we thought that you had. I did do something about that, though,
she said with a twinkle in her eye. Her gaze drifted up and she tapped her hair. Confused, Richter placed his hand on his face and ran it up over his scalp. For the first time in days, he didn't feel the pocked texture of his burn scars, but instead only smooth and healthy skin. His mouth dropped open, and he quickly cast Mirror. An unblemished face stared back at him. He was bald as a cue ball, but other than that, his image was the old one he remembered. How? He asked with wonder in his voice.
Let's just say Sumiko isn't the only life master in the family. The spell to remove your scars had to be cast in phases. You also had a crack in your skull from when you struck a rock during the battle with the kobolds. You have been asleep for the past 2 days.
That explained why he was so hungry and thirsty, Richter thought. He didn't want to think about who had cleaned up after him when his body had done the necessary. He knew for a fact that just because you were unconscious for a long period of time, it didn't mean you stopped defecating. Basically, he was pretty sure that he owed some sprite another fruit basket.
We also shaved the patches of your hair you still had left. One, because you were quite filthy, and two, because you looked quite ridiculous.
Richter chuckled and looked at her. His gratitude so intense he couldn't even really talk. He simply stood and embraced her. She hugged him back, but then said into his ear,
Thank you for the offer, but you're not my type.
Then her hand moved down from his back to cup his bare ass. Richter screwed his eyes shut and he started nodding.
I'm naked, aren't I?
See?
She whispered into his ear again.
I knew you weren't just a cute button smile.
Her hand was still cupping him. He stood there awkwardly for a few more seconds as he pondered how best to escape the situation. But when she started squeezing, he quickly backed up, covering his privates with his hands as best he could. She took one last look and then walked out of the room, her laughter trailing after her. Richter stared after her, thinking how different she was from her sister. Another sprite, a male sprite this time Richter was happy to see, brought in his armor, weapons, and a set of clothes. The sprite told him that his armor had taken a beating in the initial barrage of imbued arrows the sprites had fired at the kobolds, but had been repaired. He hadn't taken any direct hits, but the concussive force of the arrows had still buffeted him around. Richter thanked him, and then closed the door to get dressed. His bag was by the bedside. The magic of the item had ensured that it stayed near him. He dressed and equipped himself, then sent out a mental call. Alma, where are you, love? Was the self-satisfied reply. She sent him a mental image of a table laden with food. The view shifted to a sprite woman that was feeding his familiar small pieces of spiced meat. Richter noticed that the picture was much sharper and the colors were much richer since he had increased the Psi bond. Greedy glut, he thought fondly. She just sent back another happy, The sprite led Richter down a spiral staircase and then outside. It was night, but there was plenty of light provided by tall, glowing rods that stuck up from the ground like tiki torches. As he looked around, he realized where he had been resting. He had been inside of the hearth tree. Richter was both pleased and surprised that he had been allowed inside. Fumiko was waiting at the entrance for him and saw his eyes widen as he looked up at the massive edifice.
Yes, you were shown a great honor, the only non-sprite to ever enter the hearth tree. You deserve it, though. Sprites that have come back from your village have told us of the birth of the Pixie Queen. Thank you, my lord.
There was no laughter in her tone as she voiced her sentiment, and she swept her hands back in a graceful curtsy. Richter fidgeted, a bit uncomfortable by her sudden show of respect. Breaking the moment, he asked, "So, there's food?" She laughed, and the serious moment passed.
"Right this way. We are all eager to hear how you showed up on our doorstep with an army of kobolds."
"Well, then have I got a story for you." Richter walked over to the table and sat near where Alma was resting. Fumiko placed a plate of food in front of him and poured a glass of pale wine before settling in a seat across the table. Richter took a sip of the beverage and closed his eyes in bliss for a moment as the cool, sweet liquid slid down his throat. When he opened his eyes, he cast his gaze around at the happy sprites breaking their fast amidst a sea of golden grass. For the first time in days, he felt safe. Richter enjoyed the food and camaraderie. The sprites told him that the skirmishes with bugbears were increasing in frequency. A call had been put out for all sprites living in the northern part of the forest to return to the hearth tree. Despite the laughter he heard, Richter also detected a somber note in the conversation. Everyone knew that a large battle was coming and that soon friends and loved ones could die. Hisako had taken a well-armed delegation to meet with Niklas, the leader of a nearby wood elf tribe, to enlist their aid. Yoshi was currently out hunting the eaters. Fumiko and the other sprites turned serious as they discussed the threat the eaters posed. No one quite understood why the bugs weren't spilling out into all sections of the forest. Outside of a few sporadic sightings, there had been no sign of the voracious creatures. More wine was brought to the table, and the dark mood lifted. Richter took control of the conversation and told his story. He started with riding the Okami to save Tirad and ended with his flight from the kobolds. He explained his arrival in the Wood Sprite lands. When he couldn't get back to the Mist Village, Richter had realized that his only hope was to evade his pursuers until he got close to the hearth tree. Hisako had already told him about the frequent patrols the sprites conducted. When he was close enough, all he needed to do was draw enough attention and then wait for the cavalry. He admitted that when the kobold battle mage had extinguished his light spell, he had worried that the sprites might not see him, and he'd be a victim of friendly fire. Fumiko reached out and traced a deep scratch in his armor.
"Well, maybe we were a bit too friendly with our fire, but to be fair, you were a bit too friendly when you woke up, Mr. Cute Butt."
Richter coughed expressively while the other sprites looked at them, both in curiosity. "All's well that ends well. What did happen, though? Were all of the kobolds killed?" Fumiko shook her head.
"The big one that was talking to you was able to erect some powerful shields. After the first salvo, he cast a dark spell that made targeting the others difficult. We killed a lot of them, but more than half escaped."
Richter shook his head at the news. He was sure that he hadn't heard the last of Yasan and the Saber Claws. He was still immensely grateful and thanked everyone for helping him. Richter talked to Fumiko and the other sprites well into the night. When he finally slept, it was with a smile on his face. Richter awoke early. Even back on Earth, he had never been a late sleeper. With the near-perfect body he had been given since coming to the land, he barely needed 6 hours in order to be completely rested. As he left his room in the hearth tree, Alma jumped onto his shoulders, wrapping her tail around his arm for stability. He still smelled that sweet scent he had first detected when he woke the night before. As best as he could describe it, it was a mix of the crisp smell of pine and a hint of maple syrup. Fumiko had told him the night before that it was just the natural scent of the hearth tree. Richter only had to walk for a few seconds before he came across a sprite. He asked for directions to their equivalent of an alchemy lab. The smiling woman directed him down several levels and then told him to follow the first hallway on the right. Soon Richter was standing in front of a door with the symbol of a bubbling potion engraved into the wood. He knocked twice, and the door quickly opened. A sprite that looked like he was middle-aged looked up at Richter questioningly. After Richter explained what he needed, the sprite happily agreed to help. Richter tried to pay for the item, but the sprite just smiled and said he was happy to help any ally of his people. Richter smiled back. Gotta love these hippies. After he had gotten what he needed, he walked down to the base of the hearth tree and went outside. The glowing rods had been turned off, and Richter saw that the sky was just beginning to lighten. As he left the golden glade, he found a sprite who agreed to tell Fumiko and the elders that he would be back by mid-afternoon. The elders had made a brief appearance at his dinner table the night before. They were a small council of wise sprites that ruled the hearth tree while Hisako was away. They had told him he would have an escort on his way back to the Mist Village. Richter didn't argue, knowing full well how dangerous the countryside was. Despite the danger, he didn't want anyone following where he was headed this morning. He needed to go back to his glade. Richter checked his weapons and tightened a loose strap on his armor, then left the golden glade. As soon as he was past the shining grasses, he cast weak haste and started running. With a trill of happiness, Alma launched into the air and flew above him. The morning was filled with the simple sounds of the forest. Richter sped along, often surprising animals which shot for cover. The verdant setting was full of tracks, both predators and prey. After all of his near-death experiences, he simply enjoyed the peace and tranquility of the forest. He also finally had the time to deal with all of the prompts he had neglected while he had been fleeing for his life. You have been awarded 105,831 experience from Brain Drain against level 41 Crystal Guardian. Your familiar has reached levels 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19. You have reached levels 21, 22, and 23. Through hard work, you have moved forward along your path. As a Chaos Seed, you gain 6 points to distribute to characteristics instead of the usual 4. You also get 25% advancement to the skill of your choice. Crush your enemies. Honor your allies. Live! You have 18 unused characteristic points and 75% of unused skill growth to allocate. Now that you have progressed again, you must allocate your points within the next week or they will randomly be assigned for you. Congratulations! You have reached skill level 25 in Pierce the Veil, plus 50% to Perception. Congratulations! You have advanced from the rank of Initiate to the rank of Apprentice in Pierce the Veil. In addition to seeing hidden traps and compartments, you can now find hidden doors and have a chance to detect magical concealments. Congratulations! You have reached skill level 11 in Stealth. You can inflict 22% greater damage during stealthed attacks, plus 22% to concealment. Congratulations! You have advanced from the rank of Novice to the rank of Initiate in Stealth. Your weapons and equipment now make 20% less noise while stealthed. You can now move with greater speed without losing stealth status. 25% less likely to leave tracks. You have received 2,500 bonus experience for reaching level 10 in the skill Stealth. Congratulations! You have reached skill level 22 in Trap Disarm. Plus 44% more likely to disarm traps. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 10 in archery. Plus 20% bonus to aim. Plus 20% bonus to damage. Congratulations, you have advanced from the rank of novice to the rank of initiate in archery, plus 50% chance to retrieve special arrows after they have been shot. You have already received bonus experience for reaching level 10 in the skill archery. You will not be awarded this experience again. Congratulations, you have reached sub-skill levels 5 and 6 in imbue arrow, plus 30% damage, plus 30% speed of mana flow. Congratulations, you have reached sub-skill level 3 in focus. Zoom increased by 0.3 times. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 2 in drill shot. You can ignore 12% of an opponent's armor. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 5 in small blades. Plus 10% attack speed, plus 10% bonus to damage. Congratulations, you have reached skill levels 9 and 10 in light armor, plus 20% to defense of all light armor. Congratulations, you have advanced from the rank of novice to the rank of initiate in light armor. Movement speed penalty decreased from 3% per piece to 2% per piece. Decreased casting penalty from wearing light armor. Stamina drain from exertions while wearing armor reduced. You have learned to move in your armor, gaining the perk Synergy. Synergy gives a plus 20% defense bonus to light armor as long as you are wearing only light armor. Synergy stacks with each successive level. You have received 2,500 bonus experience for reaching level 10 in the skill Light Armor. Congratulations, you have reached sub-skill level 8 in Grace in Combat. Dodge increased by 8%. Congratulations, you have learned the skill Dual Casting. You have learned to channel the same spell through both arms, magnifying the effect of the spell. Casting magic in this manner also increases the concentration required to successfully cast a spell and increases the chance of spell miscast. The mana used during dual casting will be increased dramatically compared to casting normally. Dual total spell power increased to plus 200%. Extra mana drain decreased to plus 300%. Chance of spell miscast decreased by increasing this skill. This number is affected directly by spell level and caster's proficiency in that branch of magic. Congratulations, you have reached skill levels 9 and 10 in air magic. New spells are now available. Congratulations, you have advanced from the rank of novice to the rank of initiate in air magic. As a master of a place of power, you already have a 50% boost to spell power and resistance. No further bonus to spell power or resistance. You have received 2,500 bonus experience for reaching level 10 in the skill Air Magic. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 6 in Life Magic. New spells are now available. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 4 in Earth Magic. New spells are now available. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 6 in Dark Magic. New spells are now available. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 4 in Light Magic. New spells are now available. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 5 in Fire Magic. New spells are now available. Your burn scars have been healed. Charisma and dexterity restored. Richter was overwhelmed by the massive amount of prompts at first. He hadn't realized just how many of his skills he had had to use just to survive over the past several days. Pierce the Veil had let him survive the traps. His stealth had made it possible for him to avoid the patrols the night before. Even his tracking ability had let him find the kobold tracks and escape the rock giant. If he had lacked any of those, he probably would have died another grisly death. That didn't take his magic into account. He couldn't even count the number of times his spells had let him squeak through to victory. Richter ran through the forest and enjoyed the warmth of the rising sun. As he ran, though, he reflected on the realities of his situation. The land was a dangerous place. Each challenge he had come across seemed more deadly than the last. As much growth as his skills had undergone over the last few days, he knew in his heart that it wasn't enough. It was time to do some skill grinding. First, though, he had to allocate his characteristic points. He cursed himself when he saw that he had points that he could have invested into endurance or agility during his long flight through the night. He had seen the flashing notification icon, but was so busy just staying alive that he hadn't taken the time to check it. His frustration didn't last long, though, because now he had 18 points to distribute. Even though it wasn't sexy, he decided to put 4 points into endurance. During short fights, he was okay, but again and again, he seemed to need large amounts of stamina. He also put 4 points into intelligence and 2 into wisdom. Away from the Mist Village and its mana pool, his mana had dropped at a frightening rate during his fight with the Guardian. 4 points went into constitution. The health and increased stamina regeneration should help in almost any situation. The last 4 points he thought about for a bit. Now that Fumiko had restored his boyish good looks, he didn't think he needed to invest in charisma at the moment. If Krom and the other village dwarves were any indication, his upcoming negotiations with the dwarves of the Serrated Mountains would be based more on actions than a winning smile. He decided to invest in agility. He didn't want to sound like a punk, but he definitely would have liked to have been able to run away from the rock giant a bit faster. He also doubted that the giant was the last big baddie he'd have to run from. 3 points went into agility. With his last point, Richter kept to what was now becoming a tradition. It went into luck. His skill percentage points he decided to hold in reserve. As soon as he confirmed his choices, his body flooded with power. His steps became slightly lighter, and he moved faster and further with each stride. His health, mana, and stamina bars grew a bit longer as well. Richter gave out a loud whoop and kept running through the morning. Before he knew it, he was in front of the enchanted veil that hid his glade from view. Pushing through, he felt the same tingle that he always experienced when he crossed the magical barrier. The sun had risen fully and was shining down on the small meadow. When he had first come to the land, the entire place was festooned with colorful herbs and flowers, despite the fact that winter had not fully moved on yet. His last visit, Sion had harvested most of them to plant in the same meadow as the quickening, leaving the glen green and bare. Richter was happy to see that some of the herbs were already growing again. He exhaled a long and satisfied breath. It was good to be back. Richter walked over to the pool of clarity. He closed his eyes for a moment in reverence to honor the spirit of Karim the Knowledgeable. The pool had really been his ace in the hole since coming to the land. Richter almost felt like Karim was his brother. He thanked him quietly and then got to work. Richter quickly filled all of his empty potion vials from the pool. He filled several hundred before he ran out. Then he withdrew the items he had gotten from the Sprite Alchemist. When he had found Sonare's vials held several doses of a potion each, he had asked himself why he couldn't do the same thing. The alchemist had told him that potions would lose their potency if kept in an average container, but as long as a vessel was properly prepared, it could hold any number of doses. Each of the light wooden containers the sprite had given him was a cube with rounded edges. A capped bottleneck protruded from the tops. Richter placed the bottle under the surface and watched as bubbles quickly flowed up from the neck. Soon it was full, and Richter picked it up and examined it. You have found Potion of Clarity. Potion level, essence. Strength, oil. Weight, 8.2 kilograms. Traits. Experience increased by 25% for the next 24 hours. Doses, 256 of 256. Cha-ching! He would have more than enough to sell and provide for his personal use. If Basil's trade mission was a success, Richter planned on sending him right back out. Learning epic spells and sword-fighting skills was great and all, but money seemed just as important in the land as it had been on Earth. While the glade wasn't too far from the Mist Village, it was still almost a 3-day hike that he couldn't be sure he would have the time to make any time soon. Richter quickly filled up the other containers he had received from the Sprite Alchemist. Once again, he was supremely thankful for the weight-reducing properties of his bag of holding. Time and again, it proved itself as the most valuable item he had found since coming to the land. Alma flew in a loop above his head, drawing his gaze. A fond smile formed on his face. Well, maybe not the most valuable item, he corrected. Once he was done filling up, he left the glade and started running again. The sprites heavily patrolled the lands near their home, so he felt relatively safe, but Richter was still eager to get back to the safety of the hearth tree. Alma scouted from above. He was happy and relieved when he saw the massive tree nestled in the glade of tall gold grass. A sprite patrol met him before he made it to the hearth tree. One sprite broke off and ran ahead while the patrol escorted him in. Fumiko found him when he finished walking through the golden grass and gave him an earful about stupid bravado and unnecessary risks. He took the scolding in stride. Seeing that he didn't seem in the least bit contrite, she just shook her head and was about to stalk off when Richter stopped her. I'm sorry, Fumiko. Really, I am. I didn't mean to make you worry. I just wanted to get you a thank you gift. He took her hand and placed 3 potions of clarity in it. She glared at him a second longer, then her face softened into a smile. Richter smiled back, relieved that once again something sparkly got him out of trouble with a woman. The small woman reached up and lightly patted his cheek.
You may be a guilty, but you're a cute guilty. I accept your generous gift. Take 1 more parting gift from me.
She kept her hand on his cheek and laid the other on his heart. Magic coursed through him, and suddenly he knew. Congratulations! You have learned the spell Summon Weak Life Wisp. Summons an entity comprised of life magic. Will float in the area and restore a total of 100 health to you or one of your allies. This is a spell of life magic, level 6. Cost 60 mana. Duration 5 minutes. Range self. Cast time 3 seconds. Cooldown 20 minutes. Richter hadn't been expecting such a reward, but he was glad to have it. He thanked Fumiko profusely. She just laughed again and then walked off. Richter stared after her and realized that he definitely could be into an older woman. Then he realized he was staring at the sprite's ass and that other people were definitely watching him do it. Okay then, he said, clapping his hands together. Then he went to find his escort. Soon he was standing on the edge of the golden glade at the head of a troop of 10 sprites. Some of the elders saw him off. They pressed several restore health, mana, and stamina potions into his hands. He tried to pay the sprites for the gift, but they begged off, so he simply bowed and thanked them. Then he turned and started heading home. The first 2 days were uneventful. He spoke to the sprites in their own tongue, enjoying the chance to use his gift of tongues ability so liberally. The sprite language was musical to the ears and was a true joy to speak. Richter felt that immersing himself in the language in a way served to wash the harsh barking words of the kobold tongue out of his mouth. Richter spoke to each sprite as they walked and learned a bit about each individually, as well as more about the idiosyncrasies of wood sprite culture as a whole. He also took the time to allocate Alma's new ability points. He had planned to place some points into her Psi Blast ability, but when he saw that he had 5 points to play with and Brain Drain needed exactly 5 points to level, he just couldn't resist. He leveled it up and smiled when he saw that she could now take down level 26 opponents. The dragonling just trilled happily and flew through the trees, hunting small game. Richter was eager to get back to his village, but there were too many sprites to cast weak haste on all of them. The sprites were also not enthusiastic about his suggestion that they run the whole way, so he just walked at their pace, neither fast nor slow. Drinking a potion of clarity each morning, he decided to put his trip time to good use. The first thing he did was to address something that he had put off for way too long. He examined his city interface in depth. When he opened it, Richter was again greeted with a sprawling host of menus. The amount of information was massive, but he was able to catch many salient points. He studied it off and on through